against him. But Aaron was leaning very close to her, saying something in her ear. A smile I recognized as fake was plastered across her face, and the annoyance and anxiety from her increased further. Then it spiked. Mia had walked up to them. Whatever she'd come to say, she didn't waste any time in saying it. With the eyes of Lissa's admirers on her, little Mia, in her red dress, gestured wildly, mouth working animatedly. I couldn't hear the words from across the room, but the feelings grew darker and darker through the bond. "I've got to go," I told Mason. I half walked, half ran over to Lissa's side, catching only the tail end of Mia's tirade. She was yelling at Lissa full force now and leaning into her face. From what I could tell, word must have reached her about Jesse and Ralph selling her out.
"You and your slutty friend! I'm going to tell everyone what a psycho you are and how they had to lock you in the clinic because you're so crazy. They're putting you on medication. That's why you and Rose left before anyone else could find out you cut..."
Whoa. Not good. Just like at our first meeting in the cafeteria, I grabbed her and jerked her away. "Hey," I said. "Slutty friend here? Remember what I said about standing too close to her?" Mia snarled, baring her fangs. As I'd noted before, I couldn't feel too sorry for her anymore. She was dangerous. She had stooped low to get back at me. Now, somehow she knew about Lissa and the cutting. Really knew, too. She wasn't just guessing. The information she had now sounded both like what the guardians on the scene had reported, as well as what I'd told them about Lissa's history. Maybe some confidential doctor stuff, too. Mia'd snagged the record somehow. Lissa realized it, too, and the look on her face, scared and fragile, no more princess, made my decision for me. It didn't matter that Kirova had spoken the other day about giving me my freedom, that I'd been having a good time, and that I could have let my worries go and partied tonight. I was going to ruin everything, right here and right now. I'm not really good with impulse control. I punched Mia as hard as I could, harder, I think, than I'd even hit Jesse. I heard a crunch as my fist impacted her nose and blood spurted out. Someone screamed. Mia shrieked and flew backwards into some squealing girls who didn't want to get blood on their dresses. I swooped in after her, getting in one more good punch before somebody peeled me off her. I didn't fight restraint as I had when they'd taken me from Mr. Nagy's classroom. I'd expected this as soon as I'd swung at her. Stopping all signs of resistance, I let two guardians lead me out of the dance while Miss Kirova tried to bring some semblance of order. I didn't care what they did to me. Not anymore. Punish or expel, whatever. I could handle... Ahead of us, through the ebbing and flowing waves of students passing through the double doors, I saw a figure in pink dart out. Lissa. My own out-of-control emotions had overridden hers, but there they were, flooding back into me. Devastation. Despair. Everyone knew her secret now. She'd face more than just idle speculation. Pieces would fall together. She couldn't handle that. Knowing I wasn't going anywhere, I frantically searched for some way to help her. A dark figure caught my eye. "Christian!" I yelled. He'd been staring at Lissa's retreating figure, but glanced up at the sound of his name. One of my escorts shushed me and took my arm.
"Be quiet."
I ignored her. "Go after her," I called to Christian. "Hurry." He just sat there, and I suppressed a groan. "Go, you idiot." My guardian snapped at me to be quiet again, but something inside of Christian woke up. Springing up from his lounging position, he tore off in the direction Lissa had traveled. No one wanted to deal with me that night. There'd be hell to pay tomorrow. I heard talk of suspension or possibly even expulsion. But Kirova had her hands full with a bleeding Mia and a hysterical student body. The guardians escorted me to my room under the watchful eye of the dorm matron, who informed me she'd check on me every hour to make sure I stayed in my room. A couple guardians would also hang out around the dorm's entrances. Apparently, I was now a high-security risk. I'd probably just ruined Eddie's party. He'd never sneak a group up to his room now. Heedless of my dress, I flounced onto the floor of my room, crossing my legs underneath me. I reached out to Lissa. She was calmer now. The events from the dance still hurt her terribly, but Christian was soothing her somehow, although whether it was through simple words or physical mojo, I couldn't say. I didn't care. So long as she felt better and wouldn't do anything stupid, I returned to myself. Yes, things were going to get messy now. Mia and Jesse's respective accusations were going to set the school on fire. I probably would get thrown out and have to go live with a bunch of skanky vampire women. At least Lissa might realize Aaron was boring and that she wanted to be with Christian. But even if that was the right thing, it still meant Christian. Christian. Christian was hurt. I snapped back into Lissa's body, suddenly sucked in by the terror pounding through her. She was surrounded. Surrounded by men and women who had come out of nowhere, bursting up into the attic of the chapel where she and Christian had gone to talk. Christian leapt up, fire flaring from his fingers. One of the invaders hit him on the head with something hard, making his body slump to the ground. I desperately hoped he was okay, but I couldn't waste any more energy worrying about him. All my fear was for Lissa now. I couldn't let the same thing happen to her. I couldn't let them hurt her. I needed to save her, to get her out of there. But I didn't know how. She was too far away, and I couldn't even escape her head at the moment, let alone run over there or get help. The attackers approached her, calling her princess and telling her not to worry, and that they were guardians. And they did seem like guardians. Definitely vampires. Moving in precise, efficient ways. But I didn't recognize them as any of the guardians from school. Neither did Lissa. Guardians wouldn't have attacked Christian, and guardians certainly wouldn't be binding and gagging her. Something forced me out of her head, and I frowned, staring around my room. I needed to go back to her and find out what had happened. Usually the connection just faded, or I closed it off, but this was like something had actually removed me and pulled me back here. But that made no sense. What could pull me back from... Wait. My mind blanked. I couldn't remember what I'd just been thinking about. It was gone. Like static in my brain. Where had I been? With Lissa? What about Lissa? Standing up, I wrapped my arms around myself, confused, trying to figure out what was going on. Lissa. Something with Lissa. Dimitri, a voice inside my head suddenly said, go to Dimitri. Yes, Dimitri. My body and spirit burned for him all of a sudden, and I wanted to be with him more than I ever had before. I couldn't stay away from him. He'd know what to do. And he'd told me before I should come to him if something was wrong with Lissa. Too bad I couldn't remember what that was. Still, I knew he'd take care of everything. Getting up to the staff wing of the dorm wasn't hard since they wanted to keep me inside tonight. I didn't know where his room was, but it didn't matter. Something was pulling me to him, urging me closer. An instinct pushed me toward one of the doors, and I beat the living daylights out of it. After a few moments, he opened it, brown eyes widening when he saw me.
Rose?
Let me in. It's Lissa. He immediately stepped aside for me. I'd apparently caught him in bed, because the covers were peeled back on one side and only a small tableside lamp shone in the darkness. Plus, he wore only cotton pajama bottoms. His chest, which I'd never seen before, and wow, did it look great, was bare. The ends of his dark hair curled near his chin and appeared damp, like he'd taken a shower not so long ago.
What's wrong?
The sound of his voice thrilled me, and I couldn't answer. I couldn't stop staring at him. The force that had pulled me up here pulled me to him. I wanted him to touch me so badly I could barely stand it. He was so amazing, so unbelievably gorgeous. I knew somewhere something was wrong, but it didn't seem important. Not when I was with him. With almost a foot separating us, there was no way I could easily kiss his lips without his help. So instead, I aimed for his chest, wanting to taste that warm, smooth skin.
"Rose!" he exclaimed, stepping back. "What are you doing?"
"What do you think?" I moved toward him again, needing to touch him and kiss him and do so many other things.
"Are you drunk?"
he asked, holding his hand out in a warning gesture. "Don't I wish?" I tried to dodge around him, then paused, momentarily uncertain. "I thought you wanted to... Don't you think I'm pretty?" In all the time we'd known each other, in all the time this attraction had built, he'd never told me I was pretty. He'd hinted at it, but that wasn't the same. And despite all the assurances I had from other guys that I was hotness incarnate, I needed to hear it from the one guy I actually wanted.
"Rose, I don't know what's going on, but you need to go back to your room."
When I moved toward him again, he reached out and gripped my wrists. With that touch, an electric current shot through both of us, and I saw him forget whatever he'd just been worrying about. Something seized him, too. Something that made him suddenly want me as much as I wanted him. Releasing my wrists, he moved his hands up my arms, sliding slowly along my skin. Holding me in his dark, hungry gaze, he pulled me to him, pressing me right up to his body. One of his hands moved up the back of my neck, twining his fingers in my hair and tipping my face up to his. He brought his lips down, barely brushing them against mine. Swallowing, I asked again, "Do you think I'm pretty?" He regarded me with utter seriousness like he always did.
"I think you're beautiful."
"Beautiful?"
"You are so beautiful. It hurts me sometimes."
His lips moved to mine, gentle at first, and then hard and hungry. His kiss consumed me. His hands on my arms slid down, down my hips, down to the edge of my dress. He gathered up the fabric in his hands and began pushing it up my legs. I melted into that touch, into his kiss, and the way it burned against my mouth. His hands kept sliding up and up, until he'd pulled the dress over my head and tossed it on the floor.
You got rid of that dress fast," I pointed out between heavy breaths. "I thought you liked it."
"I do like it,"
he said. His breathing was as heavy as mine.
"I love it."
And then he took me to the bed. Chapter 21. I'd never been completely naked around a guy before. It scared the hell out of me, even though it excited me, too. Lying on the covers, we clung to each other and kept kissing, and kissing, and kissing, and kissing. His hands and lips took possession of my body, and every touch was like fire on my skin. After yearning for him for so long, I could barely believe this was happening. And while the physical stuff felt great, I also just liked being close to him. I liked the way he looked at me, like I was the sexiest, most wonderful thing in the world. I liked the way he would say my name in Russian, murmured like a prayer.
"Rosa, Rosa."
And somewhere in all of this, was that same urging voice that had driven me up to his room. A voice that didn't sound like my own, but that I was powerless to ignore. "Stay with him. Stay with him. Don't think about anything else except him. Keep touching him. Forget about everything else." I listened, not that I really needed any extra convincing. The burning in his eyes told me he wanted to do a lot more than we were, but he took things slow, maybe because he knew I was nervous. His pajama pants stayed on. At one point, I shifted so that I hovered over him, my hair hanging around him. He tilted his head slightly, and I just barely caught sight of the back of his neck. I brushed my fingertips over the 6 tiny marks tattooed there.
"Did you really kill 6 Strigoi?"
He nodded.
"Wow."
He brought my own neck down to his mouth and kissed me. His teeth gently grazed my skin,
different from a vampire, but every bit as thrilling.
Don't worry. You'll have a lot more than me someday.
Do you feel guilty about it?
Hmm?
Killing them. You said in the van that it was the right thing to do, but it still bothers you. It's why you go to church, isn't it? I see you there, but you weren't really into the services. He smiled, surprised and amused I'd guessed another secret about him.
How do you know these things? I'm not guilty, exactly. Just sad sometimes. All of them used to be human, or vampire or moroi. It's a waste, that's all. But as I said before, it's something I have to do. Something we all have to do. Sometimes it bothers me. And the chapel is a good place to think about those kinds of things. Sometimes I find peace there, but not often. I find more peace with you.
He rolled me off of him and moved on top of me again. The kissing picked up once more, harder this time, more urgent. Oh, God, I thought. I'm finally going to do it. This is it. I can feel it. He must have seen the decision in my eyes. Smiling, he slid his hands behind my neck and unfastened Victor's necklace. He set it on the bedside table. As soon as the chain left his fingers, I felt like I'd been slapped in the face. I blinked in surprise. Dimitri must have felt the same way.
What happened? He asked.
I don't know. I felt like I was trying to wake up, like I'd been asleep for 2 days. I needed to remember something. Lissa. Something with Lissa. My head felt funny. Not pain or dizziness, but the voice, I realized. The voice urging me toward Dimitri was gone. That wasn't to say I didn't want him anymore, because, hey, seeing him there in those sexy pajama bottoms with that brown hair spilling over the side of his face was pretty fine. But I no longer had that outside influence pushing me to him. Weird. He frowned, no longer turned on. After several moments of thought, he reached over and picked up the necklace. The instant his fingers touched it, I saw desire sweep over him again. He slid his other hand onto my hip, and suddenly, that burning lust slammed back into me. My stomach went queasy, while my skin started to prickle and grow warm again. My breathing became heavy. His lips moved toward mine again. Some inner part of me fought through. Lissa, I whispered, squeezing my eyes shut. I have to tell you something about Lissa, but I can't remember. I feel so strange.
I know.
Still holding on to me, he rested his cheek against my forehead.
There's something here.
He pulled his face away, and I opened my eyes.
This necklace, that's the one Prince Victor gave you.
I nodded and could see the sluggish thought process trying to wake up behind his eyes. Taking a deep breath, he removed his hand from my hip and pushed himself away. What are you doing? I exclaimed. Come back. He looked like he wanted to very badly, but instead he climbed out of the bed. He and the necklace moved away from me. I felt like he'd ripped part of me away, but at the same time, I had that startling sensation of waking up, like I could think clearly once more without my body making all the decisions. On the other hand, Dimitri still wore a look of animal passion on him, and it seemed to take a great deal of effort for him to walk across the room. He reached the window and managed to open it one-handed. Cold air blasted in, and I rubbed my hands over my arms for warmth. What are you going to... The answer hit me, and I sprang out of bed, just as the necklace flew out the window. No! Do you know how much that must have... The necklace disappeared, and I no longer felt like I was waking up. I was awake. Painfully, startlingly so. I took in my surroundings. Dimitri's room. Me, naked. The rumpled bed. But all that was nothing compared to what hit me next. Lissa! I gasped out. It all came back. The memories, the emotions, and, in fact, her held-back emotions suddenly poured into me at staggering levels. More terror, intense terror. Those feelings wanted to suck me back into her body, but I couldn't let them. Not quite yet. I fought against her, needing to stay here. With the words coming out in a rush, I told Dmitri everything that had happened. He was in motion before I finished, putting on clothes and looking every bit like a badass god. Ordering me to get dressed, he tossed me a sweatshirt with Cyrillic writing on it to wear over the skimpy dress. I had a hard time following him downstairs. He made no effort to slow for me this time. Calls were made when we got there. Orders shouted. Before long, I ended up in the Guardian's main office with him. Kirova and other teachers were there, most of the campus's guardians. Everyone seemed to speak at once. All the while, I felt Lissa's fear, felt her moving farther and farther away. I yelled at them to hurry up and do something, but no one except Dmitri would believe my story about her abduction until someone retrieved Christian from the chapel and then verified Lissa really wasn't on campus. Christian staggered in, supported by two guardians. Dr. Olensky appeared shortly thereafter, checking him out and wiping blood away from the back of his head. Finally, I thought, something would happen.
"How many Strigoi were there?"
one of the guardians asked me.
"How in the world did they get in?" muttered someone else.
I stared. There weren't any Strigoi. Several sets of eyes stared at me.
"Who else would have taken her?" asked Miss Kirova primly. "You must have seen it wrong through the vision."
"No, I'm positive. It was... they were guardians."
"She's right," mumbled Christian,
still under the doctor's ministrations. He winced as she did something to the back of his head.
"Guardians."
"That's impossible," someone said.
"They weren't school guardians." I rubbed my forehead, fighting hard to keep from leaving the conversation and going back to Lissa. My irritation grew.
"Will you guys get moving? She's getting farther away." "You're saying a group of privately retained guardians came in and kidnapped her?"
The tone in Kirova's voice implied I was playing some kind of joke.
"Yes,"
I replied through gritted teeth. "They..." Slowly, carefully, I slipped my mental restraint and flew into Lissa's body. I sat in a car, an expensive car with tinted windows to keep out most of the light. It might be night here, but it was full day for the rest of the world. One of the guardians from the chapel drove. Another sat beside him in the front. One I recognized. Spyridon. In the back, Lissa sat with tied hands, another guardian beside her, and on the other side...
"They work for Viktor Dashikov," I gasped out, focusing back on Kirova and the others.
"They're his."
"Prince Viktor Dashikov?"
asked one of the guardians with a snort. Like there was any other freaking Viktor Dashikov.
"Please," I moaned, hands clutching my head. "Do something. They're getting so far away. They're on..."
A brief image, seen outside the car window, flared in my vision.
83, headed south. 83 already? How long ago did they leave? Why didn't you come sooner?
My eyes turned anxiously to Dmitri.
"A compulsion spell," he said slowly. "A compulsion spell put into a necklace he gave her. It made her attack me."
"No one can use that kind of compulsion," exclaimed Kirova. "No one's done that in ages."
"Well, someone did. By the time I'd restrained her and taken the necklace, a lot of time had passed."
Dmitri continued, face perfectly controlled. No one questioned the story. Finally, the group moved into action. No one wanted to bring me, but Dmitri insisted when he realized I could lead them to her. Three details of guardians set out in sinister black SUVs. I rode in the first one, sitting in the passenger seat, while Dmitri drove. Minutes passed. The only time we spoke was when I gave a report. "They're still on 83, but their turn is coming. They aren't speeding. They don't want to get pulled over." He nodded, not looking at me. He most definitely was speeding. Giving him a sidelong glance, I replayed tonight's earlier events. In my mind's eye, I could see it all again, the way he'd looked at me and kissed me. But what had it been? An illusion? A trick? On the way to the car, he'd told me there really had been a compulsion spell in the necklace. A lust one. I had never heard of such a thing, but when I'd asked for more information, he just said it was a type of magic Earth users once practiced, but never did any more. "They're turning," I said suddenly. "I can't see the road name, but I'll know when we're close." Dimitri grunted in acknowledgement, and I sank further into my seat. What had it all meant? Had it meant anything to him? It had definitely meant a lot to me. "There," I said about 20 minutes later, indicating the rough road Victor's car had turned off on. It was unpaved gravel, and the SUV gave us an edge over his luxury car. We drove on in silence, the only sound coming from the crunching of the gravel under the tires. Dust kicked up outside the windows, swirling around us. "They're turning again." Farther and farther off the main routes they went, and we followed the whole time, led by my instructions. Finally, I felt Victor's car come to a stop. "They're outside a small cabin," I said. "They're taking her..."
"Why are you doing this? What's going on?"
Lissa, cringing and scared, her feelings had pulled me into her.
"Come, child,"
said Victor, moving into the cabin, unsteady on his cane. One of his guardians held the door open. Another pushed Lissa along and settled her into a chair near a small table inside. It was cold in here, especially in the pink dress. Victor sat across from her. When she started to get up, a guardian gave her a warning look.
"Do you think I'd seriously hurt you?"
"What did you do to Christian?" she cried, ignoring the question. "Is he dead?"
"The Ozera boy? I didn't mean for that to happen. We didn't expect him to be there. We'd hoped to catch you alone, to convince others you'd run away again. We'd make sure rumors already circulated about that."
"We?"
I recalled how the stories had resurfaced this week. From Natalie.
"Now?"
He sighed, spreading his hands wide in a helpless gesture.
"I don't know. I doubt anyone will connect it to us, even if they don't believe you ran away. Rose is the biggest liability. We intended to dispatch her, letting others think she'd run away as well. The spectacle she created at your dance made that impossible. But I had another plan in place to make sure she stays occupied for some time, probably until tomorrow. We will have to contend with her later."
He hadn't counted on Dimitri figuring out the spell. He'd figured we'd be too busy getting it on all night.
"Why?" asked Lissa. "Why are you doing all this?"
His green eyes widened, reminding her of her father's. They might be distant relatives, but that jade-green color ran in both the Dragomirs and the Dashkoffs.
"I'm surprised you even have to ask, my dear. I need you. I need you to heal me."
Chapter 22.
"Heal you?
Heal him?" My thoughts echoed hers.
"You're the only way," he said patiently. "The only way to cure this disease. I've been watching you for years, waiting until I was certain."
Lissa shook her head.
"I can't. No, I can't do anything like that."
"Your healing powers are incredible. No one has any idea just how powerful."
"I don't know what you're talking about."
"Come now, Vasilisa. I know about the raven. Natalie saw you do it. She'd been following you, and I know how you healed Rose."
She realized the pointlessness of denying it.
"That was different. Rose wasn't that hurt, but you... I can't do anything about Sandowski's syndrome."
"Not that hurt," he laughed. "I'm not talking about her ankle, which was still impressive. I'm talking about the car accident. Because you're right, you know. Rose didn't get that hurt. She died.
He let the words sink in.
That's... no. She lived,
Lissa finally managed.
No, well, yes, she did. But I read all the reports. There was no way she should have survived, especially with so many injuries. You healed her. You brought her back.
He sighed, half wistful and half weary.
I'd suspected you could do this for so long, and I tried so hard to repeat it, to see how much you could control.
Lissa caught on and gasped.
The animals! It was you!
With Natalie's help.
Why would you do that? How could you?
Because I had to know. I have only a few more weeks to live, Vasilisa. If you can truly bring back the dead, then you can cure Sandowski's. I had to know before I took you away that you could heal at will, and not just in moments of panic.
Why take me at all?
A spark of anger flared up in her.
You're my near uncle. If you wanted me to do this, if you really think I can...
Her voice and feelings showed me she didn't really entirely believe she could heal him.
Then why kidnap me? Why didn't you just ask?
Because it's not a one-time affair. It took a long time to figure out what you are, but I managed to acquire some of the old histories. Scrolls kept out of Moroi museums. When I read about how wielding spirit works.
Wielding what?
Spirit. It's what you've specialized in.
I haven't specialized in anything. You're crazy.
Where else do you think these powers of yours have come from? Spirit is another element. One few people have any more.
Lissa's mind was still reeling from the kidnapping and the possible truth that she'd brought me back from the dead.
That doesn't make any sense. Even if it wasn't common, I still would have heard of another element. Or of someone having it.
No one knows about spirit anymore. It's been forgotten. When people do specialize in it, nobody realizes it. They think the person simply hasn't specialized at all.
Look, if you're just trying to make me feel...
She abruptly cut herself off. She was angry and afraid, but behind those emotions, her higher reasoning had been processing what he'd said about spirit users and specializing. It now caught up with her.
Oh my God! Vladimir! And Miss Karp!
He gave her a knowing look.
You've known about this all along.
No, I swear it's just something Rose was looking into. She said they were like me.
Lissa was starting to change from a little scared to all scared. The news was too shocking.
They are like you. The books even say Vladimir was full of spirit.
Victor seemed to find that funny. Seeing that smile made me want to slap him.
I thought...
Lissa still wanted him to be wrong. The idea of not specializing was safer than specializing in some freakish element.
I thought that meant, like, the Holy Spirit.
So does everyone else, but no. It's something else entirely. An element that's within all of us. A master element that can give you indirect control over the others.
Apparently, my theory about her specializing in all the elements wasn't so far off. She worked hard to get a grip on this news and her own self-control.
That doesn't answer my question. It doesn't matter if I have this spirit thing or whatever. You didn't have to kidnap me.
Spirit, as you've seen, can heal physical injuries. Unfortunately, it's only good on acute injuries, one-time things. Rose's ankle, the accident wounds. For something chronic, say, a genetic disease like Sandowski's, continual healings are required. Otherwise, it will keep coming back. That's what would happen to me. I need you, Vasilisa. I need you to help me fight this and keep it away, so I can live.
That still doesn't explain why you took me, she argued. I would have helped you if you'd asked.
They never would have let you do it. The school, the council. Once they got over the shock of finding a spirit user, they'd get hung up on ethics. After all, how does one choose who gets to be healed? They'd say it wasn't fair, that it was like playing God, or else they'd worry about the toll it'd take on you.
She flinched, knowing exactly what toll he referred to. Seeing her expression, he nodded.
Yes, I won't lie to you. It will be hard. It will exhaust you, mentally and physically. But I must do it. I am sorry. You'll be provided with feeders and other entertainments for your services.
She leapt from the chair. Ben immediately stepped forward and pushed her back into it.
And then what? Are you going to just make me a prisoner here? Your own private nurse?
He made that annoying open-palm gesture again.
I'm sorry. I have no choice.
White-hot anger blasted away the fear inside of her. She spoke in a low voice.
Yes, you don't have the choice, because this is me we're talking about.
It's better for you this way. You know how the others turned out. How Vladimir spent the last of his days, stark raving mad. How Sonia Karp had to be taken away. The trauma you've experienced since the accident comes from more than just your family's loss. It's from using spirit. The accident woke the spirit in you. Your fear over seeing Rose dead made it burst out, allowing you to heal her. It forged your bond. And once it's out, you can't put it back. It's a powerful element, but it's also dangerous. Earth users get their power from the earth. Air users from the air. But spirit? Where do you think that comes from?
She glared.
It comes from you, from your own essence. To heal another, you must give part of yourself. The more you do that, the more it will destroy you over time. You must be noticing that already. I've seen how much certain things upset you, how fragile you are.
I'm not fragile, snapped Lyssa, and I'm not going to go crazy. I'm going to stop using spirit before things get worse.
He smiled.
Stop using it. You might as well stop breathing. Spirit has its own agenda. You'll always have the urge to help and heal. It's part of you. You resisted the animals, but you didn't think twice about helping Rose. You can't even help compulsion, which spirit also gives you special strength in. And that's how it will always be. You can't avoid spirit. Better to stay here, in isolation, away from further sources of stress. You'd either have become increasingly unstable at the academy, or they would have put you on some pill that would have made you feel better, but stunted your power.
A calm core of confidence settled inside her, one very different from what I'd observed over the last couple of days.
I love you, Uncle Victor.
But I'm the one who has to deal with that and decide what to do. Not you. You're making me give up my life for yours. That's not fair.
It's a matter of which life means more. I love you, too, very much. But the Moroi are falling apart. Our numbers are dropping as we let the Strigoi prey upon us. We used to actively seek them out. Now Tatiana and the other leaders hide away. They keep you and your peers isolated. In the old days, you were trained to fight alongside your guardians. You were taught to use magic as a weapon. Not any longer. We wait. We are victims.
As he stared off, both Lyssa and I could see how caught up in his passion he was.
I would have changed that if I were king. I would have brought about a revolution, the likes of which neither Moroi nor Strigoi have ever seen. I should have been Tatiana's heir. She was ready to name me before they discovered the disease. And then she would not. If I were cured. If I were cured, I could take my rightful place.
His words triggered something inside of Lyssa, a sudden consideration for the state of the Moroi. She'd never contemplated what he'd said, about how different it might be if Moroi and their guardians fought side by side to rid the world of the Strigoi and their evil. It reminded her of Christian, and what he'd said about using magic as a weapon, too. But even if she did appreciate Victor's convictions, neither of us thought it was worth what he wanted her to do.
"I'm sorry," she whispered. "I'm sorry for you. But please, don't make me do this."
"I have to."
She looked him straight in the eye.
"I won't do it."
He inclined his head, and someone stepped forward from the corner. Another Moroi. No one I knew. Walking around behind Lyssa, he untied her hands.
"This is Kenneth."
Victor held his hands out toward her free ones.
"Please, Vasilisa, take my hands. Send the magic through me just as you did with Rose."
She shook her head.
"No!"
His voice was less kindly when he spoke again.
"Please, one way or another, you will heal me. I'd rather it be on your terms, not ours."
She shook her head again. He made a slight gesture toward Kenneth. And that's when the pain started. Lyssa screamed. I screamed. In the SUV, Dimitri's grip on the wheel jerked in surprise, making us veer. Casting me an alarmed look, he started to pull over.
"No, no, keep going!"
I pressed my palms to my temples.
"We have to get there!"
From behind my seat, Alberta reached forward and rested a hand on my shoulder.
"Rose, what's happening?"
I blinked back tears.
"They're torturing her. With air. This guy, Kenneth, he's making it press against her, into her head. The pressure's insane. It feels like her skull's gonna explode."
I started sobbing. Dimitri looked at me out of the corner of his eye and pressed the gas pedal down harder. Kenneth didn't stop with just the physical force of air. He also used it to affect her breathing. Sometimes he'd smother her with it. Other times he'd take it all away and leave her gasping. After enduring all that firsthand, and it was bad enough secondhand, I felt pretty confident I would have done anything they wanted. And finally, she did. Hurting and bleary-eyed, Lyssa took Victor's hands. I'd never been in her head when she worked magic and didn't know what to expect. At first, I felt nothing, just a sense of concentration. Then, it was like, I don't even know how to describe it. Color and light and music and life and joy and love. So many wonderful things. All the lovely things that make up the world and make it worth living in. Lyssa summoned up all of those things, as many as she could, and sent them into Victor. The magic flowed through both of us, brilliant and sweet. It was alive. It was her life. And as wonderful as it all felt, she was growing weaker and weaker. But as all of those elements, bound by the mysterious spirit element, flowed into Victor, he grew stronger and stronger. The change was startling. His skin smoothed, no longer wrinkled and pocked. The gray, thinning hair filled out, turning dark and lustrous once more. The green eyes, still jade-like, sparkled again, turning alert and lively. He'd become the Victor she remembered from her childhood. Exhausted, Lyssa passed out. In the SUV, I tried to relate what was happening. Dimitri's face grew darker and darker, and he spat out a string of Russian swear words he still hadn't taught me the meanings of. When we were a quarter mile from the cabin, Alberta made a call on her cell phone, and our whole convoy pulled over. All of the guardians, more than a dozen, got out and stood huddled, planning strategy. Someone went ahead to scout and returned with a report on the number of people inside and outside of the cabin. When the group seemed ready to disperse, I started to get out of the car. Dimitri stopped me.
"No, Rosa. You stay here."
"The hell with that? I have to go help her." He cupped my chin with his hands,
fixing me with his eyes.
You have helped her. Your job is done. You did well. But this isn't any place for you. She and I both need you to stay safe.
Only the realization that arguing would delay the rescue kept me quiet. Swallowing back any protests, I nodded. He nodded back and joined the others. All of them slipped off into the woods, blending with the trees. Sighing, I kicked the passenger seat back and laid down. I was so tired. Even though the sun poured through the windshield, it was night for me. I'd been up for most of it, and a lot had happened in that time. Between the adrenaline of my own role and sharing Lissa's pain, I could have passed out just like she had. Except that she was awake now. Slowly, her perceptions dominated mine once more. She lay on a couch in the cabin. One of Victor's henchmen must have carried her there after she'd fainted. Victor himself, alive and well now thanks to his abuse of her, stood in the kitchen with the others as they all spoke in low voices about their plans. Only one stood near Lissa, keeping watch. He'd be easy to take down when Dimitri and the badass team burst inside. Lissa studied the lone guardian and then glanced at a window beside the couch. Still dizzy from the healing, she managed to sit up. The guardian turned around, watching her warily. She met his eyes and smiled.
"You're going to stay quiet, no matter what I do," she told him. "You aren't going to call for help or tell anyone when I leave, okay?"
The thrall of compulsion slid over him. He nodded in agreement. Moving toward the window, she unlocked it and slid the glass up. As she did, a tumble of considerations played through her mind. She was weak. She didn't know how far from the academy. From anything, really, she was. She had no clue how far she could get before someone noticed. But she also knew she might not get another chance at escape. She had no intention of spending the rest of her life in this cabin in the woods. At any other time, I would have cheered on her boldness, but not this time. Not when all those guardians were about to save her. She needed to stay put. Unfortunately, she couldn't hear my advice. Lissa climbed out the window, and I swore out loud.
"What? What do you see?"
asked a voice behind me. I jerked up from my reclining position in the car, banging my head on the ceiling. Glancing behind me, I found Christian peering up from the cargo space behind the farthest back seats. "What are you doing here?" I asked.
"What's it look like? I'm a stowaway."
"Don't you have a concussion or something?" He shrugged like it didn't matter. What a great pair he and Lissa were. Neither afraid to take on crazy feats while seriously injured. Still, if Karova had made me stay behind, I would have been right beside him in the back.
"What's happening?" he asked. "Did you see something new?"
Hastily, I told him. I also got out of the car as I spoke. He followed. "She doesn't know our guys are already coming for her. I'm going to go get her before she kills herself with exhaustion."
"What about the guardians? The schools, I mean. Are you going to tell them she's gone?"
I shook my head. "They're probably already busting down the cabin's door. I'm going after her." She was somewhere off to the right side of the cabin. I could head in that direction, but wouldn't be able to get very precise until I was much closer to her. Still, it didn't matter. I had to find her. Seeing Christian's face, I couldn't resist giving him a dry smile. "And yeah, I know. You're going with me." Chapter 23. I'd never had so much trouble staying out of Lissa's head before, but then, we'd never been through anything like this together either. The strength of her thoughts and feelings kept trying to pull me in as I hurried through the forest. Running through the brush and woods, Christian and I moved farther and farther from the cabin. Man, how I wished Lissa had stayed back there. I would have loved to see the raid through her eyes. But that was behind us now, and as I ran, Dimitri's push on laps and stamina paid off. She wasn't moving very quickly, and I could feel the distance closing between us, giving me a more precise idea of her location. Likewise, Christian couldn't keep up with me.
I started to slow for him, but soon realized the foolishness of that. So did he.
Go, he gasped out, waving me on.
When I reached a point close enough to her that I thought she could hear me, I called out her name, hoping to get her to turn around. Instead, what answered me was a set of howls, a soft canine baying. Sigh hounds. Of course. Victor had said he hunted with them. He could control those beasts. I suddenly understood why no one at school recalled sending sigh hounds after Lissa and me in Chicago. The academy hadn't arranged that. Victor had. A minute later, I reached a clearing where Lissa cringed, back against a tree. From her looks and bond feelings, she should have fainted long ago. Only the barest scraps of willpower kept her hanging on. Wide-eyed and pale, she stared in horror at the four sighhounds cornering her. Noticing the full sunlight, it occurred to me that she and Christian had another obstacle to contend with out here. Hey! I yelled at the hounds, trying to draw them toward me. Victor must have sent them to trap her, but I hoped they'd sense and respond to another threat, especially a vampire. Sighhounds didn't like us any better than other animals did. Sure enough, they turned on me, teeth bared and drool coming out of their mouths. They resembled wolves, only with brown fur and eyes that glowed like orange fire. He'd probably ordered them not to harm her, but they had no such instructions regarding me. Wolves. Just like in science class. What had Ms. Meissner said? A lot of confrontations were all about willpower? Bearing this in mind, I tried to project an alpha attitude, but I don't think they fell for it. Any one of them outweighed me. Oh, yeah, they also outnumbered me. No, they didn't have anything to be scared of. Trying to pretend this was just a free-for-all match with Dimitri, I picked up a branch from the ground that had about the same heft and weight as a baseball bat. I'd just positioned it in my hands when two of the hounds jumped me. Claws and teeth bit into me, but I held my own surprisingly well as I tried to remember everything I'd learned in the last 2 months about fighting bigger and stronger opponents. I didn't like hurting them. They reminded me too much of dogs, but it was me or them, and survival instincts won out. One of them I managed to beat to the ground. Dead or unconscious, I didn't know. The other was still on me, still coming on fast and furious. His companions looked ready to join him, but then a new competitor burst on the scene. Sort of. Christian. Get out of here, I yelled at him, shaking off my hound as its claws ripped into the bare skin of my leg, nearly toppling me over. I was still wearing the dress, though I'd shed the heels a while ago. But Christian, like any lovesick guy, didn't listen. He picked up a branch as well and swung it at one of the hounds. Flames burst from the wood. The hound backed up, still compelled to follow Victor's orders, though also clearly afraid of the fire. Its companion, the fourth hound, circled away from the torch and came up behind Christian. Smart little bastard. It sprang at Christian, hitting him back first. The branch flew from his hands, the fire immediately going out. Both hounds then leapt onto his fallen form. I finished my hound, again, feeling sick over what I had to do to subdue it, and moved toward the other two, wondering if I had the strength to take on these last ones. But I didn't have to. Rescue appeared in the form of Alberta, emerging through some trees. With a gun in hand, she shot the hounds without hesitation. Boring as hell, perhaps, and completely useless against Strigoi, but against other things? Guns were tried and true. The hounds stopped moving and slumped next to Christian's body. And Christian's body. All three of us made our way over to it, Lissa and I practically crawling. When I saw it, I had to look away. My stomach lurched, and it took a lot of effort not to throw up. He wasn't dead yet, but I didn't think he had much longer. Lissa's eyes, wide and distraught, drank him in. Tentatively, she reached out toward him, and then dropped her hand. I can't, she managed in a small voice. I don't have the strength left. Alberta, leathery face both hard and compassionate, gently tugged her arm. Come on, princess. We need to get out of here. We'll send help. Turning back to Christian, I forced myself to look at him and let myself feel how much Lissa cared about him. "Liss," I said hesitantly. She looked over at me, like she'd forgotten I was even there. Wordlessly, I brushed my hair away from my neck and tilted it toward her. She stared for a moment, blank-faced. Then understanding shone in her eyes. Those fangs that lurked behind her pretty smile bit into my neck, and a small moan escaped my lips. I hadn't realized how much I'd missed it. That sweet, wonderful pain, followed by glorious wonder. Bliss settled over me. Dizzying. Joyful. Like being in a dream. I don't entirely remember how long Lissa drank from me. Probably not that long. She would never even consider drinking the quantities that would kill a person and make her a strigoi. She finished, and Alberta caught me as I started to sway. Dizzily, I watched as Lissa leaned over Christian and rested her hands on him. In the distance, I heard the other guardians crashing through the forest. No glowing or fireworks surrounded the healing. It all took place invisibly, occurring between Lissa and Christian. Even though the bite's endorphins had numbed my connection to her, I remembered Victor's healing and the wonderful colors and music she must be bringing forth. A miracle unfolded before my eyes, and Alberta gasped. Christian's wounds closed. The blood dried up. Color, as much as Moroi ever had, at least, returned to his cheeks. His eyelids fluttered, and his eyes regained their life again. Focusing on Lissa, he smiled. It was like watching a Disney movie. I must have keeled over after that because I don't remember anything else. Eventually, I woke up in the Academy's clinic, where they forced fluids and sugar into me for 2 days. Lissa stayed by my side almost the entire time, and slowly, the events of the kidnapping unfolded. We had to tell Kirova and a few choice others about Lissa's powers, how she'd healed Victor and Christian, and, well, me. The news was shocking, but the administrators agreed to keep it secret from the rest of the school. No one even considered taking Lissa away like they had Ms. Karp. Mostly all the other students knew was that Victor Dashkov had kidnapped Lissa Dragomir. They didn't know why. Some of his guardians had died when Dimitri's band attacked. A damned shame, when guardian numbers were so low already. Victor was now being held under 24/7 guard at the school, waiting for a royal regiment of guardians to carry him away. The Moroi rulers might be a mostly symbolic government within another country's larger government, but they had systems of justice, and I'd heard about Moroi prisons. Not any place I'd want to be. As for Natalie, that was trickier. She was still a minor, but she'd conspired with her father. She'd brought in the dead animals and kept an eye on Lissa's behavior, even before we left. Being an Earth user, like Victor, she'd also been the one to rot the bench that broke my ankle. After she'd seen me hold Lissa back from the dove, she and Victor realized that they needed to injure me to get to her. It was their only chance to get her to heal again. Natalie had simply waited for a good opportunity. She wasn't locked up or anything yet, and the Academy didn't know what to do with her until a royal command came. I couldn't help but feel sorry for her. She was so awkward and self-conscious. Anyone could have manipulated her, let alone her father, whom she loved, and from whom she so desperately wanted attention. She would have done anything. Rumor said she'd stood screaming outside the detention center, begging them to let her see him. They'd refused and hauled her away. Meanwhile, Lissa and I slipped back into our friendship like nothing had happened. In the rest of her world, a lot had happened. After all that excitement and drama, she seemed to gain a new sense of what mattered to her. She broke up with Aaron. I'm sure she did it very nicely, but it still had to be hard on him. She'd dropped him twice now. The fact that his last girlfriend had cheated on him probably wasn't helping his confidence any. And without any more hesitation, Lissa started dating Christian, not caring about the consequences to her reputation. Seeing them out in public, holding hands, made me do a double take. He didn't seem to be able to believe it himself. The rest of our classmates were almost too stunned to even comprehend it yet. They could barely process acknowledging his existence,
let alone him being with someone like her.
My own romantic state was less rosy than hers, if you could even call it a romantic state.